Warning, this podcast contains questionable content of the more adult variety and may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Don't say we didn't warn you.
Michael, get your fingers out of the cheese dip. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm good, squeaky again, but not as bad.
Yeah.
Yep, been haunting at the haunted house. It's been an interesting experience. I've learned a few things this week.
Such as?
Teenagers are assholes. I got called a bitch twice last night.
Rude.
Yeah, I know. And some other shitty little shit said, he said, fuck off or fuck you. And I yelled at him as this, like, scary nun. Like, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? Like, I get really scoldy when they do that. I'm like, you little shits. So then I try and like follow them and really scare them. But I've turned into something of a horror comedian, Michael.
You said that last time, I think.
What? Yeah, I have a new one now.
Okay.
So as they're coming through, like they're really large groups, I'll say Satan's roll call. Be like, and he wants you, and you, and you. Nope, you're too tall. Or, oh, Satan doesn't like beards. And then I'll be like, oh, you're pretty. I'll take you for myself. And just have a lot of fun with it.
You cad.
I know. It's so much fun. And people respond really well to it. So, yeah, I guess there's this trifecta of horror houses. You either need to be funny, scary, or gross, and if you have two of those, you're doing great. So I'm like, I think I'm pretty scary and funny.
Well, the Grand Guignol, the old timey horror theater that was in Paris for like 100 years, they're like the quintessential place where live horror plays would happen, and that's where people would go to like see horror shows. And that's how like the horror film evolved and whatnot. But what they would do is they would show you a horror play that was like really gory and really gruesome. And also, if you're in Denver, there is a horror theater company called Pandemic Collective that my friend runs. And she does, I think almost every season, she translates some Grand Guignol plays and puts them on every year. So keep your eye out for that. Yeah, and they're pretty awesome. I've done a few shows with them, and they're so much fun. Once again, that's Pandemic Collective. Anyway, Grand Guignol, they would show a horror play, and then in between the horror plays, they would do like comedies or like erotic comedies. Ooh. Because it would like loosen you up and make you feel all like, oh, things are cool. And then they'd be like, horror play! And it would just be so much more scary because you were like relaxed. And
right. It sounds like being in a hot shower and someone comes in and dumps a bucket of ice on you.
Exactly. Nice.
I appreciate this.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
Yeah.
Your method works.
Thank you. When little children come through, because I don't want to scare little kids today. I mean, we're talking like 5-year-olds, and some of these children are super tough. So kudos to them. But like, I'll start singing Jesus Loves Me in like a really scary voice. But I was trying to come up with Satan Loves Me, This I Know, for the, and I'm like, what's the Satanic Bible? Is it just Satanic Bible or is it the Necronomicon? So I'm like, for the Necronomicon tells me so. I'm like, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't work. All right. Well, hey, everybody. We're a Go Postal podcast. We're the podcast that's just a grab bag of fun. I'll tell you about some history, some fun facts about places, and read you some crazy stories.
And each week, these crazy stories revolve around a theme. And this week, that theme just so happens to be prison.
I was like, oh my god, I'm terrified already. Awesome. So yeah, our prison this week is theme. I got plenty of sleep.
Our prison this week is theme. Yes.
So my lovely person-y boy, Ohio, if you remember from a few episodes ago, wrote us a story about the time he went to jail. So basically, I'm dating a badass, although he doesn't have a mugshot, but he was fingerprinted. So, you know, a real bad boy here. Mm-hmm. I know. So Ohio writes, okay, so I drove from college in Southeast Ohio to Cleveland for my grandpa's funeral. He was 88, firefighter, electrician, Navy vet, good long life, but still gone too soon. Like 500 people came to his funeral. Now, two blocks away from my G parents' house and my old stomping grounds was this cool restaurant called Jean's Place, full of 1940s memorabilia. A year prior, I noticed a parking sign was loose and wasn't even attached to the ground. After the funeral, in our typical Irish fashion, we celebrated Mike's life by getting shit-faced. And I started chatting with a couple friends who grew up in the same neighborhood, essentially part of the fam. We got to talking about stealing street signs, and I hadn't done that yet, but I knew about the loose one at Jean's was still there. So I was like, BRB, gonna take this sign. Walked two blocks down the road, easily grabbed that and waltzed off. Ran across the street, and within a minute, I heard the distinctive vroom of a Crown Vic V12. I think I know that sound pretty well too, which is not good. I know the headlights of those really well. I just kind of froze on sight, even though I totes could have jumped the fence and made it to the family house in time. The cop took me and the sign back to the parking lot, at which point another cop pulls up. He looks at the street sign, which was a handicap parking only, to which he says, "Is this a hate crime?" And I'm like, WTF, no. Eventually, I get taken downtown, spend the night in jail. By now, it was like 2 or 3 in the goddamn morning. No family members are awake to get my call. The next morning, I get saved by an uncle who knows how to handle the cops. And I eventually am off to drive back to college. Now, the cop who took me in was a dick that night. Ended up having a heart attack and died, RIP, a few weeks later. So, he wouldn't have shown up to court. My case would have been thrown out anyway. And that's the story of how I spent a night in jail. Well, thank you very much, Ohio. And I'm really glad you did not get charged with a hate crime.
Yeah, that's nice.
Isn't that like a felony?
But you also spent a night in jail.
Right? Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. I think it is. So no felonies, just probably vandalism. Oh my God. I've never spent a night in jail. I do not want to do that.
No.
I feel like as a Girl Scout, we actually toured Denver County or Denver City Jail. We had some.
I feel like I remember girls talking about that when we were in elementary school, or someone talking about
that
it.
Would make sense. Maybe we
take a field trip.
Maybe
it was Boy Scouts. I don't remember. I feel like I've been to a jail too.
We must have definitely went at some point, either collectively or separately. But I definitely remember a jail. Maybe it was Arvada Jail, not Denver. I think it was Arvada because it was like super tame.
It was. Yeah, probably Arvada, because Denver would have been insane for us little kids.
Oh my God. Who the hell takes kids to jail on a field trip? I'm just saying, there's so many other options.
It was probably part of the Scared Straight program or something.
I'm sure.
My mom would say that to us all the time. She's like, oh, you're going to end up in jail where they only feed you bread and water. And then she'd like lock us in our room and put bread and water outside our door.
No way. Not Miss Susan. No.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I think she did that once. She didn't always do that. She was just trying to scare us.
Did it work? Well, you've never been to jail, so.
I mean, I don't know if I can attribute that to my mother, though.
Or just being a sensible human being.
You know, that is part of it too.
All right. Well, thank you again, Ohio. Much appreciated.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome to Victims and Villains. This is the channel where we talk nerd, we talk hope, and we speak nothing else. I'm your host, Captain Nostalgia, and I'm so glad that you're here to join us.
Victims and Villains is a podcast and YouTube channel that marries pop culture and suicide prevention, producing content with the intent to let people know that there is hope and that there is a better way, and that each and every listener has value and worth.
Listen to Victims and Villains on your favorite podcast catcher or on YouTube by searching for Victims and Villains. Also, check out their website, victimsandvillains.net.
And yeah, does that mean you have something for me now, Michael?
I sure do. I mean, obviously, prison and jail stories could go in so many different directions, and we could talk so much about social issues around jail and prisons today and all that stuff. But I have found some really nice prison stories that are, I guess, quote unquote, nice, but it's just nice to hear people who get out of jail and are able to actually start fresh and new. And like, you're able to do it. Like, you can do it. It's tough, but anyway.
You know, Michael, I love your stories because you're like the positive, upbeat, like happy, find the joy. Like, you're the new segment that's like the squirrel in Anchorman that's water skiing, and it's like the break between all the really shit. So you're the nice sandwich. You're the nice filling in that shit sandwich.
Well, yeah, because the entire world is shit right now. So
let's find some happy in the pile of shit.
Let's. So this also has...
No, continue. Whoa. No, continue.
You have a pile of shit? No, I
don't. Thank God I do not have a pile of shit. I just remember something, but you continue, honey.
Okay. So this also has to deal with prison and grandfathers. It's from an anonymous person. It says, grandfather picked me up and took me to the mall to get clothes. This is after they got out of jail. He waited outside while I went in and got stuff myself. I was extremely agoraphobic. I had a very strong sense of unease at all the people flowing so freely in movement around me. I went to Best Buy and bought a Sony Discman that could play MP3s off of CDs. They'd come out since I'd went in, no iPods or iPod money yet, and picked up my collection of MP3 discs from a friend. Had him drop me off at a bus station that evening, got on a bus for 30 hours, and left that part of the country forever. Too easy to get back into dope if I went back home. Started college about 7 days later, graduated 3 years later, an AA and an AS, nothing 4 year. Been married since 07, started my own business in 08, became a dad to a beautiful little boy in 2010, and I finished 8 years of parole recently with no violations. I'm a free man now, for reals. You see a lot of these folks talking about just getting out, but they're still being supervised. And I just applied for my passport. I think I'd like to travel somewhere outside the U.S. Edit. Everyone's kind words are greatly appreciated. Life has never been better. So glad to be here. Aww.
Yay! I love that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So it's good stuff. It's like I said, there's so many different things we could talk about in terms of like rehabilitation after prison and treatment of prisoners. But
oh my God. After living in Europe, it's hard not to get angry thinking about it.
Yeah, it's
and privatize.
Pretty fucked
I think
up.
The biggest beef I have is privatization. Like, what the actual fuck?
Oh, it's so fucked. Ugh. And I always think of that Nelson Mandela quote. It's like, if you want to see how a country treats its people, look at how they treat their prisoners. And America's the shittiest place on earth.
I mean, maybe not quite. I'd rather be in prison here than say like Cambodia. You know,
That's true. I agree, but that's a third world country.
Developing nation, honey.
Right.
Because
I realized that as I was saying it.
I still love.
And we're a first world country, so you can't really like compare the states to Cambodia in terms of prison.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Treatment.
Fair enough. So it's funny. Speaking of horrifying missteps on our podcast. Jen messaged me in absolute horror and shock as I was singing the Barney song from last week. And she's like, Carla, you can't say that. And I'm like, wait 10 seconds and you will hear the proper moment of regret, shame, and apologies. And then she's like, oh, okay, I'm glad you realized that. And I'm like, okay, thank you. She loves live texting me while listening to the podcast. And I'm just like, Jen, just hold on.
It's okay.
Okay. And thank you, Jen, for listening still. You might be the only person. It's okay.
Every day, we're surrounded by media. Books, movies, art, music, games, apps, podcasts, etc., etc. With this constant bombardment, it's easy to miss great media gems in the chaos. But fret not. You've come to the right place, my friend. I'm Jason, and I love media. I invite you to check out the Mixed Media Forest podcast, the podcast where I trudge through the forests of media to find hidden gems for you, the listener. Every episode of Mixed Media Forest is chock full of fun, reviews, nostalgia, positivity, news, rants, stories, and recommendations about all things media. Again, that's the Mixed Media Forest podcast, created on Anchor Podcasting app and available everywhere fine podcasts can be found. Give it a listen. It's what all the cool kids are doing.
Cool. Well, do you know where we're going this week for our
Boobs, Booze, and Bazaar?
I don't. Where are we going?
We're going to Alcatraz.
Oh, I've been there.
Okay, fine. Know it all. Well, okay. You can actually chime in then. So we do have some boobs and booze for Alcatraz. So I'm going to start with those. And then I'll really launch into some history and some fun facts for you guys. First, I'd like to thank History.com, Kickass Facts, and Fact Retriever for a lot of these things that I have compiled, compounded, and mishmashed together. First of all, for your boobs, there were no women prisoners at Alcatraz. There was also no female guards or administrators. So it was one big sausage party on Alcatraz Island. Mm-hmm. One of the tougher punishments on Alcatraz was a stint in the strip cell. Inmates sent there were stripped naked and given water and bread just once a day. Oh, it sounds like your mom's treatment of you, Michael. they were also given a mattress, but only at night. The toilet was a hole in the floor, and there was no sink. The room was pitch dark.
Yeah, that sounds like the old part of Alcatraz prison. But also, I have to say, there were women on the island because the guards' families would come live with them. They just didn't work in the prison.
Oh, okay. So I did misspoke when you said that, when I said there were no women on the island. There's no women in the prison. Okay.
Correct.
Fair enough. Okay. For your booze, a Japanese restaurant titled Alcatraz ER is styled after the prison's hospital. Its menu includes human intestines, a long sausage in a kidney dish, a penis on a bed of lettuce, another sausage, very funny, and a drink called the Brain Buster.
Ooh.
So that's it for your booze. I didn't go too much into the crimes, and I'm sure there would have been a lot of prohibition ones because there was a lot of gangsters locked up in there at the time. So
yeah.
I could spend all day on that, but I got a lot of really cool facts. So let's kind of start the very beginning.
Yes.
Spanish explorers discovered Alcatraz Island in 1775. Okay, they did discover it. Is that the right? They came across it. Other people had already explored it. Okay, white people history. The Spanish explorers stumbled upon Alcatraz Island in 1775. They named it, are you ready for my Spanish?
Yes.
La Isla de los Alcatraces, which means Island of the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Prisoners later called it The Rock. And obviously no affiliation with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. After the Spanish discovery of Alcatraz Island, well, now this says in 1759. Okay, get your facts together, people. And the subsequent spread of Christianity, some Native Americans sought refuge there rather than become Christian. Dude, me too. Alcatraz was home to the West Coast's first operational lighthouse. The 40-foot-tall lighthouse was the first was first lit on June 1st, 1854, and its light could be seen 14 miles out to sea. It was rebuilt in 1909 and is currently the oldest continually operating lighthouse on the West Coast.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
In 1850, President Millard Fillmore reserved Alcatraz Island for military use. A fortress was built on it, and about 100 cannons were placed around the island to protect San Francisco Bay. Also, can we just take a second to suggest that he might be the second most forgotten president in history?
Yeah, you said that name, and I was like, I don't know who that is.
Well, he's I say second most because he's right after that one guy who died 1 month into office.
Right.
I can't even remember the name of.
I can't remember his name either.
Winning in American history. All right. Several prisoners died at Alcatraz. 8 prisoners were murdered by other inmates, 5 committed suicide, and 15 died from illnesses. However, none were executed there. Prisoners that were supposed to be executed were sent to San Quentin prison. So, aside from Al Capone, who, just a little foreshadowing, we might be talking about him in the next episode. Other famous Alcatraz inmates include George Machine Gun Kelly, who spent 17 years there for kidnapping, and Robert Stroud, the Birdman of Alcatraz, who served 17 years for murder. And he's the really famous one that got really into ornithology. So,
yeah.
The inmate who spent the most time at Alcatraz was gangster Alvin Creepy Karpowitz. Yeah. Listed as public enemy number one, Karpowitz spent 25 years on the island. Several prisoners went insane while incarcerated at Alcatraz. One prisoner chopped off all of the fingers on his left hand. Another tried to slash his own throat with a pair of eyeglasses. And and he was later killed when he had tried to escape. All right. When William Henry Ambrose was paroled in July 1935, he reported the inhuman treatment of prisoners at Alcatraz. He said the strict rule of silence and the daily monotony created intense feelings of isolation and hopelessness. However, this is also really interesting, the warden saw that many prison riots were over poor food. So he fed his inmates good food and allowed them as many helpings as they wanted.
Oh.
So I'm not really sure if that makes up for solitary confinement and no speaking, but...
I'm going to say no.
Well, you'd actually be surprised. A lot of people requested to be transferred there because they had their own cell. So it meant like they were less likely to get attacked. They had good food. And so there's a few other things that might have also been a bit enticing, but they said they felt more secure there than any other place.
That's fair.
Yeah. Let's see. Kenneth Williams flew a bomber in World War II called Murder, Inc. The Germans used it as propaganda, saying he was a Chicago gangster specially released from Alcatraz by FDR to kill women and children.
Oh.
Isn't that wild? I've never even heard of that.
No.
Alcatraz was the only federal prison at the time to offer hot water showers for its inmates. This sounds nice, right?
In
theory. So the reason they did it was the prison staff reasoned that prisoners acclimated to hot water would not be able to withstand the freezing waters of San Francisco Bay during an escape attempt. Which makes this next fact all the more interesting. All right. There were no confirmed prisoner escapes from Alcatraz. A total of 36 inmates put the supposedly, quote-unquote, escape-proof Alcatraz to the test. Of those convicts, 23 were captured, 6 were shot to death, and 2 drowned. The other 5 went missing and were presumed drowned, including Frank Morris and brothers John and Clarence Anglin, whose 1962 attempted breakout inspired the 1979 film Escape from Alcatraz, which I'm assuming you've seen.
I haven't, but everyone knows the story, like digging a hole in the wall and putting like a poster over it and put dummies in their beds.
I thought the poster thing was Shawshank Redemption. Anyway.
It is, but I believe it originated from Alcatraz. Like they hit it with like a poster of like Rita Hayworth or something. I don't remember who.
I thought that was Shawshank Redemption. But anyway, so from what I have here, it says the crafty trio chipped away at the rotting concrete cell walls because the sea was really bad for this. The whole island is made out of sandstone. And salt water is really, really bad for stone. So, and concrete. So yeah, it's not the most ideal place. So they chipped away at the rotting concrete walls with sharpened spoons and fashioned decoy heads complete with used locks of hair from the barbershop that they placed in their beds to fool the guards. Their possessions were found floating in the San Francisco Bay, but no bodies were ever recovered, leading some to speculate that they may have engineered a successful escape. I've seen a lot of things go back and forth on whether they did this or not, but here's a little interesting anecdote for this. While John and Clarence Anglin, two of the three men who ever escaped from Alcatraz, were officially reported to have drowned in the bay, their mother received flowers anonymously every Mother's Day until she died, and two very tall, unknown women were reported to have attended her funeral. Very interesting.
Sounds like they're alive, or were alive.
Okay, however, it is possible to swim to shore. In 1962, prisoner John Paul Scott greased himself with lard, squeezed through a window, and swam to shore. He was so exhausted upon reaching the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge that police discovered him lying unconscious in hypothermic shock. Today, hundreds of insane people complete the 1.5 mile swim annually during the Escape from Alcatraz triathlon. It is held, check this out. It is held every year to show that it is possible to escape from Alcatraz and live. Created in 1980, includes a 1.5 mile swim to San Francisco, an 18-mile bike ride, and an 8-mile run.
No, thank you.
Honestly, I think I'd rather go to prison. So Alcatraz closed in 1963 because cost to upkeep the prison was too high. And I feel I do need to include this. In 1969, a group of about 100 Native American activists led by Mohawk Richard Oakes occupied Alcatraz, citing an 1868 treaty that gave unoccupied federal land to Native Americans. Federal marshals removed the last group in June 1971 because we're white people and we're garbage. They also said that they would be willing to, I believe, trade the land for $24 and glass beads because that's what the Dutch paid for New York or Manhattan. Sorry.
Yeah.
So they were definitely like trying to make a point, which, you know, should have been listened to. But anyway, and today it is a popular tourist destination. Ghost Hunter Paradise and Birdapalooza. Or if you're standing in the right spot, Birdapalooza.
Oh.
I had to get a poop joke in there somewhere, Michael. I let our listeners down last week. It had to happen.
It's true. You got it in. I'm so proud.
I did. Thank you. Also, I came up with that all by myself. I was like, nailed it.
Hit your target.
I get what you did there. Okay, anyway.
I do want to add that when the Native people occupied Alcatraz Island, they graffitied a bunch of like messages around the island and in the prison and on the signs and whatnot. And I forget what it says. I took a bunch of pictures, though. I can send it to you. But the graffiti is still there, which I think is really awesome that they kept it.
Yeah, they kept that, and then they put up a water tower that they, or like a water tank or something that had been removed, and they made sure to put on the original words that were there by the natives as well. So
yeah,
they're trying to make reparations, but you know, we only have like 400 years of genocide to make up for.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that's any replacement for what they should be.
But we don't have time machines either, so.
No.
So,
but
Michael,
I think it's cool they kept it.
Guess what we forgot at the very beginning?
The random question answers.
We did. So I'm going to stick it on here at the end. So our random question last week was, what do you think will bring about the next apocalypse? And if you feel saucy, how would you survive it? So the Twitter, as always, never lets us down. All right. So Ryan L. Terry, RL Terry 1. Probably something to do with cyber warfare, plunging the world into a yesteryear, survive by fishing myself a cute farmer. I think you're onto something. Kim from People Are Wild podcast says, I've been saying this for years, but the grid will go down. A massive EMP will knock it out for good. I have been preparing for this for years for this possibility, and I'm willing to disclose it. And I'm not willing to disclose how. If you find me, you'll find safety. If you don't find me, well, good luck. Yep. She said, I've been prepping for 10 years for this. No joke, no lie, no fake. I'm still not 100% ready, but I will be. God damn, Kim. Meet Me in the Woods, our lovely friend Jenna. Millennials, I'm 100% ready for it. I'm like, how are we going to bring the apocalypse? It's baby boomers who ruined everything.
They already brought the apocalypse.
Right? And Kate says, I freaking hate Twitter for this reason. She says, option two, it will either be an apocalypse or Llamageddon. I'll knit my way through.
Fuck yes.
Yep. I thought you and Kate would be just fine. I'm going to enjoy all of the things that you knit.
We'll keep you warm.
Murder City, True Crime of Houston podcast, says biological warfare for sure. I tend to avoid people most of the time anyways, so my chances are decent. Sirwad Cowboys Chelsea says Browns winning two games in a row. I don't know if you noticed, the Cleveland Browns did not win a single game last year, so.
And they just won one this season. For some reason, my phone thought it was appropriate to send me a notification about it. And I said,
think it was just that exciting. I think it really was. I think the whole world is like, holy shit, this actually happened. Real Life Sci-Fi says mega solar flare, fight for water. Monstrosity Podcast said, when was the first apocalypse? At which point I pointed them to the article from The Atlantic. Someone simply just said Trump. Horton Brothers Grimm says, Donald Trump pushes the wrong button on that nuclear thingy. I will only survive out of sheer luck. Who knows where the nuclear thingy will be pointed? McCray K said, not sure of the full details, but my money is either on a bastard rabbit or a bastard cat. Let's see. Laura, as always, love Laura, behind the crime or behind crime blog. I want the zombie apocalypse. I have way more plans worked out for zombie apocalypse than I do any sort of retirement. That's pretty much true.
I'm going to agree and say same.
The Gutter podcast says, politics, hypocrisy, and greed. Someday it will all come to a head. I replied with a doom song from Invader Zim. Murderific True Crime podcast says, I'll be dead by day two, most likely. Fair enough. Kate's first option, and I love this one. From Ignorance Was Bliss, says cauliflower. Zombies will mistake them for brains and shit will go down. Our buddy Dave from Selling Out show says the hillbillies are coming. Only way to survive is try and look like their cousins. Now, they're gonna tussle your privates, but do your best and act natural. Oh, he said, and I almost forgot. Respond to any mention of Billy or Bobby with a firm yup, and it'll help you blend in. Well, thank you, Dave, and thank you everyone who responded. Man, we are all in a very dark mood these days. I can tell because they were ready to jump on that.
Who isn't ready for the apocalypse? It could happen at any moment.
This is true. This is very true. So all it takes is one gigantic volcanic eruption or solar flare or nuclear thingy.
The big earthquake here in Vancouver where it'll destroy most of the city.
Oh, good.
That no one is prepared for. Hopefully when we're not living here anymore.
Yes, please. After you move. I think I'm relatively safe-ish. At least from earthquakes and volcanoes. Like, I'm not near Yellowstone, thank God.
That would still be disastrous on a global scale.
Yeah, pretty much.
And there goes all our family.
There goes... everything we love. well
anyway,
now that we've left you on such a happy, cheerful note, join us Wednesday for part two, where we'll have some hysterical history. I think our Countess Cordelia is coming back to visit us.
I think so.
And I'll try not to make any more Berta Palooza jokes, but I make no promises.
Where can they write us?
Oh, yeah.
Where can they find us?
Okay, so big announcement as well. We have a series of Halloween episodes coming. We would love to hear any stories you have about zombies, if you have any ghost stories, possession stories, anything about cryptids, you know, like werewolves, Loch Ness Monster, any of it. We want to hear your stories, your thoughts, your ideas. Just write us in. You can write us at P.O. Box 198514, Nashville, Tennessee 37219, or you can email us at gopostalpodcast@gmail.com. And where can they find us on social media, Michael?
They can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at gopostalpodcast. You can comment, you can like our stuff, you can DM us. As always, be sure to rate and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on. Subscribe to us, tell your friends, get more stories in, and that's it.
Basically, we just want all of your attention. Like, let's face it, we're more important than anything else you have going in your life. Like, just stop eating and listen to us all the time. Actually, don't stop eating.
That being said, I'm going to go eat a jar of queso. And...
I hate you right now. I just had chicken pad thai, so it's fine.
Well, we'll see you all in part two. Until then, auf Wiedersehen.
Ciao.